Well, thank you. It's another Sunday morning here at High Point Church. Welcome, everybody, and I'm so glad to have you here. Also, you that are joining us online, welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, my message is going to be very appropriate for the times that we're in. You're going to love it because it's going to cut right through to where the rubber meets the road. Amen. You know, we can hear all this stuff in the news of what's going on. We can see the stuff around us in our community. And as we're obeying our authorities, we're wearing masks now just about everywhere we go. And so there's a lot going on in the world. Well, I'll tell you what, there's going to come a moment in your life. Every one of us is going to face this moment. Do we do what other people tell us to do, or do we do what the Lord tells us to do? And you're going to come to a place, it may not be today, but it will surely come, that you are going to have to really say, I know, because I know, because I know that this is what the Lord is leading me to do. Even if everyone else around me is going another way. Okay? So this message is going to strengthen you for that moment, and hopefully for every moment in your life, because I'm going to share something with you that is very common to a lot of Christians, but is very uncommon to the lives of a lot of Christians. Do you know what I mean when I'm saying that? In other words, what I'm going to tell you today, your brain can say, oh yeah, I understand that. But I want to let you know, your understanding does not mean you know it. Knowing comes by the Spirit of God. Understanding comes from the mind. We need to know by the Spirit of God first, and then let our mind understand what the Spirit has told us. Are you with me? This is what's going to save you in the real day of adversity. Okay? We haven't hit that. We've hit the day of inconvenient and uncomfortable, a little bit frustrating. We have not hit the day of adversity yet. Okay? So this is going to be very powerful for you. Like I said, many of you are already walking in it, but the rest of you need to join in too. So I'm going to go ahead and start with one verse, and then we'll go from there. So if you'll join me, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and this will be our jump-off verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I want to let you know about the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church, though it says that they excel in all of the gifts, though the anointing was very strong on them, and even though there are written a lot of godly things that we use as foundational text in the Bible, these Corinthians had one issue. Okay? They had the Spirit with them doing signs and wonders and miracles, and they operated in their gifts. But do you know how Paul addressed these people? As babes. That word babe is napios. That means no speech. They had nothing to say yet because they did not understand they were righteous yet. He says that they need to awake to righteousness because some of them didn't get it yet. Even though they exercise so many spiritual things, those things don't increase you. They're only for a temporary time. They're for other people. God uses you for other people. And that's what these guys were able to do. But Paul had to really seriously correct them throughout both 1st and 2nd Corinthians because they didn't know how to be mature Christians yet. What I'm going to talk to you about today is meat. It's about being mature. And that's why he had to write these letters to these people. All right? Are you with me? Everybody's still in the room. Bolt the doors. Lock them. All right. So we're going to start in verse 5 of chapter 13. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Stop. It doesn't say examine the person next to you to see if they're in the faith. Okay? It says you need to examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Ready? Test yourselves. Stop. Now you got to test yourselves. So you're going to need to examine yourself. And then after you've examined yourself and did your assessment, now you need to test yourself and see what you actually own. What's really you. Not what you understand to be true, but is really you. Because in your day of adversity, only what's really in you is going to help you. Okay? So it says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Then test yourselves. Look at what it says. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Yeah, I thought it'd go over about like that. Jesus Christ is in you. So now, hallelujah is right, sis. Listen, we can say this as a church. How many of us said, is Jesus in you? Raise your hand. You know what? Yay, Jesus is in me. Jesus is in me. Now, do you know that Jesus is in you? We're going to look at a little bit of stuff because here's where the maturity comes. You know the difference between a soul and a spirit? So listen, a soul. You guys have heard what a soul is, right? It's your what? Mind, will, and emotions, right? So your mind, your understanding, your intellect, your will, my choice maker, I will do this, I will not do that. And then your emotions, how I feel, what's flowing through me, what's moving through me emotionally, right? We've got all of that's our soul. That is not how God deals with you and me, though. That's tough. Because a lot of the world wants to feel the presence of God. They want to hear God with their ears. They want to see the things of God with their eyes. But we've got to do it through the Spirit. So we're going to learn about that today. So since we know what the soul is, the mind, the will, and the emotions, do you realize that your spirit has aspects also? It has attributes. So now, who leads, the spirit or the soul in a perfect world, in a Christian's life? Spirit leads. Amen. Gold star. So that means these next three attributes that I'm going to explain to you, they lead your life. Right? If the Spirit leads, these will lead your life. Not your understanding. It'll follow. When these lead, these follow and prove these to be true. So what are the aspects of the Spirit? Your intuition. Your intuitive knowing. You're knowing because you know because you know. And you can't prove that it's true, but you know that it's true because it came by the Holy Spirit to your spirit. That's supposed to lead you in your daily walk. The knowing of the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit. Second is what? Communion. The second aspect of your spirit is communion. Your soul cannot commune with God. It's your spirit that communes with God. Now, I want to let you know, I don't want to get into too many semantics, but sometimes soul and spirit is used interchangeably in people's minds. Okay? They're almost like synonymous. They mean the same thing to a lot of people. So you may read that I worship you with my soul to the Lord in the Old Testament. And they did, because they didn't have the Spirit of God in them. That's all they had. They also had the Ten Commandments written in stone. And they had to follow those also. Okay? We're going to look at that. But by your spirit now, we're to be led by the Spirit. We're sons and daughters of God of the Spirit. So now we can commune with God, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, our spirit and His spirit as one. So communion only Christians can have with God. Third, your conscience. When you are not born again, you do have a conscience. It is in you, but it is dull. It is not sharp. It is not fully awake. It's just there. And even an unregenerate person knows the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, in most cases. However, you can still overrule your conscience before you're born again quite easily. How many of you guys did things against your conscience when you were not saved? You didn't even care. You just did them. I was the same. I was no different. I heard my conscience speak. I don't care. I wanted to do it. So I did it. I overruled it. Well, once you get born again, your conscience is now blown alive by the Spirit of God, and it becomes heightened. And now God holds us accountable to our conscience, because that's an aspect of our spirit. So he's going to lead us intuitively by inspiration. He's going to lead us through communion and fellowship and through having a clear conscience. That's being led by the Spirit. So that's got to be our dominant way of living on the earth. Not the way we feel, not the way we think, but by these things, and then our feelings and our thinking will line up with what we're being inspired to do by God. Are you with me? That way, we can say the same thing Jesus said in John chapter 3, that which is spirit is spirit, that which is flesh, that we don't know where the spirit comes from or where the spirit goes. Like the wind, it blows in this direction and it blows in that direction. When we let the balloon go, we don't know where it's going to go, but we can see it goes, follows the wind, right? So is everyone who is led by the Spirit. Your knower leads you, not your agenda setter up here. Difference between a Christian and a normal person. As Christians, we can get stuck in our agenda setter and forget about being led by our knower, okay? And that's the state of a large percentage of Christians. But if troubles seriously come, and you're living by your agenda setter and not your knower because you know, you can't be sure you'll be led by God, and you could be robbed of your peace. You could be. It's possible. So let's look at a few verses. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Isn't that exciting? So let's talk about Jesus Christ who's in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Before I go there, I did this. This is my pattern. Thank you, Jesus. May as well get used to it. Go with me, would you go to Exodus 34 first? I'm sorry, Julie. Exodus 34. Let's go there first. Exodus 34. Let me just set the stage. Because when we read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it is quite easy to minimize what you're reading because you read it with your mind. So let's see what it's actually saying, and then let's read it that way, shall we? So then, this 22, I need 34. Here it is. 2 Corinthians 34, verse 29. So we're talking about Moses. Now, Moses was in the presence of the Lord, right? And he would go up on the mountain and spend time in the presence of the Lord. And as he spent time in the presence of the presence of the Lord literally got onto Moses' skin and into his skin, almost like a suntan. And Moses' face started shining. Let's read this. Verse 29. Through 35. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterwards, the children of Israel came near. Slowly but surely, as they had to come, they did. And they gave him them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. So he went in the presence of God, he got it and spoke it to them. 33. And when Moses had finished speaking to them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil. He would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to go speak with him. So what's going on here, you guys? As Moses would go in and actually speak to the Lord Most High, the very glory and radiance of God himself would be so bright and glorious that it transformed Moses' face and the skin of his face to where Moses, walking out of the presence of God, the residual presence of God shone from Moses' face. And as it started diminishing, when Moses would go back into the presence of God, it would brighten back up again. And it got to the place that he had to put a veil over his face and take it off. A veil over his face and take it off. Because of the glory of the Lord. Okay? That actually happened. So let's go to 2 Corinthians now. Remember it said he came down from the mountains with the tablets? 2 Corinthians now. Chapter 3. So we're going to go ahead and start in verse 4. Ready? And we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves. It's not you and me by ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What letter is he talking about? The law, the Ten Commandments that were written in stone that he got when he was in the presence of God. And that was the commandment of death, which we'll read, because it only speaks to the flesh. Where was the glory in Moses' face? In his spirit or in his flesh? His flesh. They weren't born again yet. So they were flesh and soul. Okay? But if, verse 7, but if the ministry of death, that's the Ten Commandments, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of what? Righteousness exceeds much more in glory. This is what the Corinthians did not understand. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. In other words, even though that was glorious, the glory on his skin, it was no big deal compared to what you and I have. It's way greater. It excels way beyond. It's like if you took a rock and just went, the first glory went to there. The second glory went way over there. Way bigger. Excels much more in glory. Verse 10, for even what made glorious had no glory in this respect, because the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away how? In Christ. But even to this day when Moses read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is what? Is the Spirit. So when one turns to the Spirit or turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And thereby, and there where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? liberty, which means freedom. So when you turn to the Lord, who is the Spirit, when you turn to the Spirit, there's liberty and freedom. Okay? Not the commandment of death, not the rules of obligations, not the flesh. Now we're going to turn to the Spirit. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, but we all, with our blinders off, turned to the Lord, are seeing our own reflection. The glory of the Lord, your reflection, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, metamorphosed, changed into the same image. That word's also transfigured in the Bible. When Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration, or in Romans chapter 2, where chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, to not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You being transformed or transfigured into the same image, the exact same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Or that word by is apo, it means off the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. But this is a lot, you guys, because we don't just read and go right on past it. We have to actually look at what we're reading. That means that if Jesus Christ is actually in you, you examine yourself, you put yourself to the test. Is this real for me? Do I believe this? Is this my reality that Jesus Christ is in me? The one whose glory shone so brightly that Moses' skin literally beamed in public. That one is in you and in me. And when my spirit turns to his spirit, I am actually transformed into the exact same image of God. I need to test myself to believe, to see if I actually believe that or not. Oh, I can read the words, but is that my experience? Whew. This is going to save your lives, you guys. Save your lives when everybody's going that way and the Lord says go that way. Because it doesn't make sense. Because the way the Spirit leads, we don't understand the way he does. We don't know because we're not using our understanding. It's our knowing through revelation. The revelation of God will reveal it to our spirits and we will obey him. And that we will know because we know because we know. How many of you have ever been quickened before to call somebody? For a day or two, you thought, I need to call so-and-so. I need to call so-and-so. And you don't know why you need to call them, but I just feel like I need to call them. And so then you call them, and whoa, after the phone call, you know, now I know exactly why I was supposed to call them. Or I think so-and-so needs some money. I need to give so-and-so some money. They haven't asked for anything, but I just feel this something in me. They need some money. So you give it to them, and they go, oh, you're an answer to prayer. I have really needed that for this or that. And I asked the Lord to send somebody. We've all experienced the leading. Do not think this is not you. This is you. But we have to cultivate this knowing of God, a clear conscience, communing with God, knowing how he's leading us. That's the first way we live our lives. That's the dominant way you and I live. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just back a couple of pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, this is exciting stuff. Oh, I love this stuff. Because you know what? It is so easy to get busy, to be responsible, to meet the needs of others, and not do this for myself. But this is my duty to God. This is my reasonable service, that I would lay down my life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, not conforming myself to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of my mind. That doesn't mean more information. That means my spirit getting in the presence of God's Spirit. And when my Spirit and God's Spirit commune in me, when I turn to the Spirit, when I turn to the Spirit, who is Christ that is in me, and we commune, I am changed into the same image. I'm different through fellowshipping with God. If you guys know your Bible, 1 John chapter 3 says, we may not know what we will be, but we do know this, that when we see Him face to face, we will be like Him. And because we know this, we purify ourselves, even as He is pure. So this is the thing. As we take the time to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, not in sensationalism necessarily, in really hearing God lead me, not through my intellectual mind, not through my feelings, spirit to spirit. Because when He speaks to me, I will be different. Let's read this. I'm going to start in verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Eye has not seen, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. You're not going to get this through your eyeballs. You're not going to get it through your ears. Nor have entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. There's no way of knowing them naturally. But God has revealed them to us. How? Through His Spirit. This is coming by the Spirit of God as I fellowship with the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? You guys can't know what's going on inside of me. You might get an inkling, but if you do, it's by the Holy Spirit is the only way you can know. Your general senses can't tell you what I'm going through in my heart and mind. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. It's going to take the Holy Spirit sharing these things with us. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely, remember freedom, freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. You're not going to get this from another person. But which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen? Feel free to wake up your neighbor if they're dozing. This is tough stuff. When you really look at it, it's not a piece of cake anymore. But the natural man, the one that might be dozing next to you, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Let's just stop there. So in other words, you and I have to have God talk to us personally, not Pastor Trey, Pastor Robert, whoever has a great message. Oh, that was so good. Great, that's wonderful. But I want to let you know, that does not increase you in the Spirit. Only that which is Spirit can increase you in Spirit. You have to be edified by Spirit, because it's Spirit that builds you up. Jesus says that I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 that it is He was a life-giving Spirit, right? That's true. By the Spirit of Jesus is the life that we give, from His Spirit to my spirit. That's the only way I can get it. That's the only way you can get it. So, we can actually say that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you can see the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I see Him. When I spend my time in the presence of God, the Spirit of God magnifies Jesus, right? And that changes me. Instantly changes me. Oppo. I get changed because it comes off of him onto me. If I don't get into his presence, it doesn't come off of him to get onto my spirit. It doesn't. And if it doesn't come to my spirit, then my mind can't make understanding of what I was just made known or revealed by the Spirit. So what happens is if I'm not getting the knowing or the unction by the Holy Spirit, my mind is left to guide me without being led by the Spirit. And then I can't know the things of God anymore. I can get into fear, I can get into anxiety, I can get into worry because I'm not being led by the Spirit, but by my own soul. But you are not those people, praise God. We are not those people. We have the Spirit of God in us to lead us through all these things. So we test ourselves. We really take a look at ourselves to see. Just say I'm listening real quick. We test ourselves, okay, just to see, like right there. You know what? I love the Lord. He's good. All right, say this after me. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. My heart is open, and I will hear. Speak to me, Lord, and I will do as you command. Give me the strength to keep my attention focused on you, that I may glorify Jesus in all that I do. Lord, not my will. Your will be done. Amen. It doesn't matter how you spend your day as long as you do it in communion with God. So that if there's something else he would like you to do, you're right there to fulfill it. Remember when we read, it's not us. We don't trust in our own selves. Nothing comes by me. It only comes by the Spirit of God. Right? That's you and that's me. When Jesus says that my words are spirit and they are life, what did he mean by that? He meant that they were life. They literally are real life. Remember in the soul of the Old Testament, it said the life is in the blood? It is. The essence that keeps your physical body alive is in your blood. But what keeps you alive if you're not your body? The spirit that's within you. That's where real life comes from. That's a higher authority. It supersedes natural rules. Do you know what? When Moses went into the presence of God for 40 days to get the Ten Commandments, do you know what? He didn't eat any food for 40 days in the presence of God. I thought that was pretty significant. And the Lord said, you better look at that again. And it said, he didn't eat any food or drink any water for 40 days. He didn't eat any food or drink any water for 40 days in the presence of God. The life of the Spirit supersedes natural rules. Just like walking on the water, returning the ear to the side of the guy's head, doing all these miracles, turning water into wine, healing the sick, casting out devils, and all these things come by the Spirit. You know why he spoke parables to everybody? Because he didn't want to talk to their minds. He didn't want to give them rules that they can follow, systematically do this and this and this to get these results. He needed them to be awake on their inside so that they could figure it out through relationship. Remember Peter, when he finally got it, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God? He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father did. He has to reveal it to each one of us. And we have to examine ourselves to see that we're in the faith. And we need to test ourselves. Do I actually hear God talking to me? If I don't, I need to seriously get in some prayer. I might even need to fast for a while, but I've got to get to where I know I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. So now let me just share some things, because this can sound like, oh, maybe I'm not hearing God at all. And I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. But it's to really groom that relationship, amen, so that we can continue to grow and continue to move forward, for the days ahead are going to require you to have staying power when other people, amen? If God is for us, who can be against us? What can man do to us? Do you not know that you will judge the angels? You will, because you're God's son. That means we have to wake up to who we are. We need to wake up to righteousness, stand up from being a regular person on the earth, and be sons and daughters of the Most High God. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. We need to speak the word. We need to read and meditate in the word of God. And we need to make sure that we are activated in spiritual things. We have proved it here so many times. Pastor Trey, Mitten, and I, we don't talk about what we're going to share. We don't share. We just let the Holy Spirit tell us. I can't even tell you how well we always teach the same things coming from different places. You know why? It's the Holy Spirit leading this congregation. You may not realize it, but you're way, way more significant than you may estimate or regard yourself to be. I want to let you know, you are absolutely God's best. You're His plan A. Seriously, you actually are. You're His plan A. Anything He wants to do in the world, He's going to do it through you. That's a fact. But if you don't spend time with Him so that the glory and the presence and the magnitude of who God is doesn't shine through you, not a lot's going to get done. Not a lot. And so this is the really wonderful thing about pressure. I love it. I hate it. But I love it. But I hate it. But I love it. But I hate it. I hate that we walk through it, but I love the results we get. Because when the pressure is on you, you will turn to God. And when you turn to God because you need an answer, you need a solution, you need a way out, you will turn until He gives you what you're looking for. You can knock, knock, knock. Open the door, I need bread. Open the door, I need bread. I know you got bread in there, Lord. Lord, I know you got an answer to my problem. I know you do. Go away. I got a lot going on right now. I'll take care of the whole planet. You know that. No, Lord, Lord, I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. Open, open, open. And if you continue, what does it say? Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Ask and keep on asking until you get your breakthrough, because it's the Lord's desire that every one of us walk in the fullness of His glory. Hallelujah, Robert. Praise God. That's great. Oh, I love that stuff. It's a lot to think about, isn't it? It doesn't come by your mind. It doesn't come by your feelings. It comes by your knower. You have to know that you know that you know what God is telling you to do. And if you don't know, you need to get there until you do. He knocked until He got bread. He knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked until He got bread. Some of us have to do some knocking and get some things clear so that we can get the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor Robert, how do I test myself? How do I actually test myself to see if I'm sure that Christ is in me? I'm glad you asked. So we'll conclude with this, all right? Ask Him something. And then see if it's true. Ask Him. If He tells you to lay hands on somebody, say, will they get healed if I do? And He says, yes, test Him. If they say, call somebody, He says, call somebody because this and this and this is going on with them, call them and find out. You go, well, that's pretty exacting, Robert. Yes, because God knows all things. He tells us things we did not know. He leads us into all godliness. And we're allowed to do that. There's no reason for us to have any mysteries. He said he's revealed it to us. But we have to practice it. We have to walk it out. We have to see if it's so. And as we do, listen, the presence of God will get stronger in your life. Your confidence will increase. Your boldness will really increase because you're so close to being with God so frequently, so well, in such communion that as you walk into a room, you will shine in their eyes. You will definitely be different than everybody else around you. And they will know that you are different. They were afraid of Moses because of the glory. When Jesus was standing there at Gethsemane or in the garden and they came to get him, he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus. And he says, I am. And what happened to the guards, all the police and officers? What happened to them? From the presence and the glory of God, from him just saying, I am. That's supernatural, men and women. That's supernatural. Let me tell you something. You're supernatural. You're naturally supernatural. That's who you are. That's who you are. It's who you are. Amen. You are. And listen, the veil's been torn. It's been opened. And our hope is the anchor of our soul. And that hope takes us in beyond the veil, into the presence of the Most High God. And he is always present. There's nothing blocking us. We just have to acknowledge it and learn how to walk in what you cannot see with your natural eyes. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men the things that the Lord has prepared for us. We must get it from the Spirit. And then it will enter in. And then your mind will understand. And then your life will show it. But we have to actually get the life of God flowing through us. I look at it this way, and I'll close with this. You know, heaven, Jesus has a throne, and he sits on it. You can look in Revelations, I think it's 22. And out of his throne flows a river. And from this river, it's called life. And beside the river on its banks are trees. They're called the trees of life. And the trees of life have fruit on them. And every month a new fruit comes full on the tree. So, and there's 12 months in heaven, by the way. And every month a different fruit is ready to eat. So you constantly are being fed from the tree of life that flows by the river of life, that flows down out of the Spirit into your spirit. And out of your spirit, those rivers of living water flow. And as they flow out of you, people around you get healed, get set free, have revelation knowledge. They see their sin without you saying a word, because of the goodness that flows from you. That same glory, that same goodness of God that Moses asked to see as he passed by, flows out of you and me. It comes by fellowship. It's already real and true. It takes us allowing it to be so, waking up to it, and walking in it. The more we let the river of life flow through us and out of us, the more we'll see its effects in the world around us. Thereby, the kingdom of God that's in heaven will flow through you, out of you, and manifest in the earth. Are you with me? Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Jesus Christ is in you. Let him reveal himself through you. Amen. I love you guys. Father, I just thank you for the word. I thank you that you bring life and revelation by the word of God. I thank you that you're no respecter of persons, Lord. Anyone who desires to press into these things can have them, Father. Father, I ask that you help each individual as they navigate their course to be led by your Spirit to not only reveal to them the call that you've called them to, but Father, give them confidence of the equipping of the saints, Lord, that they can be successful in the ministry that they've called you to. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the love that you've shown us, Lord. And I thank you for opportunities, Father, to glorify you, that it's not our will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.